So we have, if you've joined us the past couple weeks, we've talked about marriage, and I try to give some spiritual principles that will apply to all lives. We have a lot of teenagers here that don't want to get married for quite a long time, right, ladies?
Right.
Until you're 40, at least 35, okay? And obviously single adults. So we've talked about, last week we talked about our finances, the week before we talked about our faithfulness, okay? And we had as we talked about this marriage stuff, I conveniently made Becky have to teach kids church the first 2 weeks so I could give my 2 cents. So today I'm letting her preach as well, so she'll probably get back at me a little bit.
I will never get back at you.
But when we met in college, and there was a message in chapel 1 year, how to have a good fight, and the professor and his wife kind of did this presentation, and they came out with boxing and stuff, and it's just because we're not encouraging you to fight in your marriage. But what we're admitting is you're going to have arguments and you're going to have discussions, as my grandparents would call them. But we need to do them in a healthy way. And so that's what we're presenting today, is how to have a good fight, and some tips for you. And we'll have a bookmark for you that'll have all these points listed on there that you can take home with you today. But love is the central, it's the most important, it's the most characteristic adjective and action that God wants us to have as Christians, to display as Christians. It's the greatest commandment that Jesus gave us, to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. God's love for mankind is the silver lining theme throughout all of Scripture. You can see his love in the creation story we went through a couple months ago. You can see his love throughout him leading the Israelites throughout the Old Testament, leading into Jesus coming as the Messiah, and how love was throughout the early church. So throughout all of Scripture, love is the silver lining theme. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter. When you think about love in the Bible, we often go to chapter 13. It's used in wedding ceremonies. It's used throughout sermon series and all that. Chapter 13 is sandwiched between chapters that tell about unity among believers. It talks about using your spiritual gifts, what those are and how we use those. And then Paul begins chapter 13. Actually, it's the last statement of chapter 12. He begins this with this statement: "Now I will show you the most excellent way." Love is the most excellent way. And he begins the chapter 13 expressing the idea that even if I'm the best model of Christianity, if I don't love, I'm nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, if you want to turn there, we're going to be there throughout the sermon today. Starting at verse 1, he says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and I give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I am nothing. I gain nothing." Without love, the Christian life profits me nothing. It doesn't help me, is what Paul's saying. Love is the basis of all we do, all that we say. It's the foundation of how we glorify God in everything. And that was a point in our message last week. We need to glorify God in everything, and love is the foundation of that. As believers, we're called to love one another, right? In John 13:35. And in Romans 12:17, we're called to live at peace with all men. As much as possible, Paul says, we need to live at peace. At all costs, live at peace with all men. Try your best to live at peace with everyone. It is vital that we fight or disagree well. That we do it well. Love has to overshadow the anger that builds up in us when someone disagrees with us, okay? Love has to overshadow those feelings of, I have to be right, and I'm going to make sure they know I'm right, and I win this argument, right? Love has to overshadow that. If you're a believer and you're cruel in a fight or argument with anyone, and you let your anger control you, you've lost. You may be right in the argument, you may have won the discussion, but you've lost a friend, you've lost a brother, you've lost. Even when you love everyone, we know that conflict will arise. Differences of opinions, differences of background means we're going to disagree. You're gonna find someone in a conversation, right? Oh, that's not what I think the Bible says. All right, I don't think that's what I agree with. Okay, so how do we disagree well? How do we fight well? Like I said earlier, we're going to talk about today seven tips or points from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 of how to have a good fight. It's connected to the verses from 4-8, I believe, that says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails.
Yeah, so good. Man, anger can blind you, can't it? We can have all the tips, but that anger can come right up, and especially with your spouse. Because it's the same old argument sometimes, right? The first tip here is to pick your time to fight. Now, I know this can sound unscriptural because people are like, Becky, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. That is the worst piece of advice you can give a married couple ever. That verse is not an excuse for your wife to trap you all night long, going on and on. That is not what that person means.
Hey.
I've done it. I say that because I've done it. I have learned this is not a good piece of advice. It means don't let your anger fester. It means don't leave it unresolved for long amounts of time. But sometimes you need sleep. Sometimes you need an intermission. Sometimes you need to cool down before you can have a healthy fight. Sometimes you need to know yourself and say, I have to walk away from this. This is the part of love is patient. We're married. We're gonna be together. We're gonna have time to work this out. So we need to pick our time to fight. On the way to church, probably not the best time to have a fight. In front of the kids, our kids do need to see us resolve conflicts. They do need to see that we, mom and dad, can discuss and be upset and resolve it and work that through. But there are things when it's about them or when it's a deep issue, we need to wait. We need to cool off and have that fight, have that discussion at another time. So there are times to pick your time to fight. It's okay to not have it out right in the moment. And I think sometimes we forget that because we're angry and we want to have it out, but that's not the time to have it out. So being able to take that time and cool down. I think we do this, we tell our kids this well, but we don't think it for ourselves always. We're like, oh, you need to cool down. You need a timeout. We're good at telling the kids that, but you can ask that of the people that you're upset with. You can say, I need a moment. I need to eat some food because I'm hangry. I need to sleep tonight. And then we can discuss this tomorrow. And it's good to do that. That's practicing the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. That I know I'm not going to be in a healthy place and I'm going to say things I shouldn't. So, yeah, first one, pick your time to fight.
And I'll add that it doesn't mean to avoid the fight altogether. Okay, to stuff it down deep and say, I do that a lot as a husband. I don't want to have this argument, so we're just not going to talk about it. And to push it down and let it fester and let it boil up in you. You need to have the conversation. You just need to try and have it at a time and place that's productive, right? The second point today is to treat the other with respect. So love is patient. Love is also kind. It does not envy or boast or seek to dishonor others. So we need to treat the other with respect. We often are so much more kind to strangers that we'll see at the store or we'll see, around town than we are to our spouse. Mark Gunger is a relationship expert that, goes around and does conferences, and you can watch him on YouTube. He has a lot of good stuff. And he talks about that men should treat her like his truck, and women should treat him like their dog, okay? Men, we call our truck, yeah, that was supposed to be funny. So. We call our truck baby. We wash it, we take care of it, we upgrade it, all the fancy stuff, right? We love our truck. Ladies, we will praise our dog, not our, your dog. You'll praise your dog. You will give it loves. You'll give it treats. You'll care for it. You'll cuddle with it, okay? So men and women, you need to treat your spouse the same way or even better, okay? Treat me better than you do the dog, okay? Also, when we talk about, when talking about quarreling, the Bible talks about being gentle. And Proverbs 15:1 is wise advice that a gentle answer turns away wrath. A gentle answer will stop the fight that's happening. And instead of us getting defensive and rising up higher than they are, and then they have to rise up higher, okay, a gentle answer will soften the anger. And it says, it finishes with, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So as opposite, as a gentle answer will calm the situation, a harsh response is going to make the person even more upset. So treat the other with respect.
Yeah, it's really good. This is hard to do, and we sometimes think, well, with our family or our spouse, I can just be who I am. I'm supposed to be who I am, but those are the people you need to treat with respect. Those are the people that are going to be there, so I can't just fly off the handle at them all the time. I need to learn to self-control with them. I have to practice a filter. Yeah. Next, listen to understand. Man, when I'm mad, I want to get my point across and I want to tell him. I use all my words. I'm good. I've been good at that. So in 20 years, I have had to work on self-control a lot in this area. Because when he's talking, all I'm thinking is what I'm going to say next. When he's talking, all I'm thinking is, oh, can't believe you said that. Going to use that against you. I've been very guilty of this. But I find if I will do what the Bible says, which is James 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Man, if I will listen to hear him out, it goes so much better. If I'll let him say all the man things that are wrong, but he gets to the point of what he really means, because men have a process sometimes. It doesn't always come out. They kind of come out brash or just say the immediate, like, first thing that comes to mind, and I'm like, well, that wasn't right. But he gets to the point eventually if he can be allowed... If he can be allowed to think it through and get to the point, he will get there. But I have to be willing to listen. I have to be willing to let him get that whole thought out. And for each other, and for me too, not to shut me down. So don't shut your partner down. Listen to understand. Where is it they're coming from? Because we're different. We have different backgrounds. We think differently. But we're a team. So we need to listen to each other to see what is really happening.
It's good. I hear the back of the sanctuary back here. You're having way too much fun, but it's good. I'm glad you're. We're probably fighting right now. We're probably working things out right now, and it's good. Help them, Lord.
We're gonna point this out on the bookmark after church.
The fourth one is to fight about what you are fighting about. Love keeps no record of wrongs. So don't bring up the past. Focus on the current issue, okay? When we argue, often something will come up from our past argument or something one of us did a long time ago, and we've already moved past that. But in this current argument, we're bringing all of that stuff back up. Okay, it's not helpful to regurgitate, okay, and speak it out. You're just going to re-injure that person once again. And so, excuse me, my throat today is rough. This might be the hardest area for couples. Forgetting about past hurts, maybe even before you're even together. There might be things that are brought up that we try to use kind of as a weapon to make ourselves maybe look better or try to maybe belittle that person. But we have to move forward. We have to forget about the past hurts. We're moving forward in our relationship with God and with each other. And ask the Lord to help you to forgive. Ask the Lord to help you to stop counting their wrongs against them and throwing it in their face. You're both on equal footing, okay? Your past or their past shouldn't make them less in your eyes. Phrases like, you always blah, 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 or you never blah, 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 okay? Those aren't helpful. It's our way of tallying something against them, right? They're accusing statements, and they put the other person on a lower footing than you. Does the person always act that way? Have they really never done that? No, you're exaggerating to hurt, and instead we should state how and what just happened made us feel. And finally, if you're finding that every argument goes back to one issue, okay? If you're finding that each time you have an argument, something from the past comes back up, okay, you're having issues with forgiveness and moving forward, okay, it's okay to look for help and to seek professional counseling. I would say you could come to us as a pastor. But honestly, I'm not a counselor. I would love to help you biblically work through forgiveness, and I can talk to you through that. But we're here on a mental health emphasis with the suicide prevention, and mental health in general can cause these things that we need to work on, and they can be healed. Healing can come through help, and it's not, as Christians, there's kind of this taboo, like, oh, you go to a counselor? Hey, there's actually Christian counselors. I don't know if you ever heard of that before. Okay, there's counselors that are Christians that their practice is through biblical way practices. So this leads into the next point. They're kind of connected pretty well. So I'll let you tell about that one.
Yeah. Next is to be honest. This one. I don't know if just me, but I'm sure there's other wives. Man, it's hard. It's hard sometimes to be vulnerable and to be honest what you're really mad about. Because I can get mad and start in on him at something, but really the issue is deeper. There's something else I'm not telling him that I'm really upset about. And don't know if you know this, but your husband is not going to know what you're mad about if you don't tell him. When he comes in and I'm slamming the dishwasher and I'm upset about the way that he did the dishes or something dumb, we'll tell you in a second about one of our real friends. But when I'm angry and up to like a 10 about something that's petty, he's like, what is happening? Really, there is a real issue there. There's something deep going on, but I'm not being honest and vulnerable and telling him what's really eating at me. Mm-hmm. And I need to be honest and vulnerable to talk through the issues behind it. So our example here is our very first fight. Kevin calls it a discussion. Was over green bean casserole, of all things. Kevin put it in the oven just the way his mom does, without the lid on. My mom always cooked it with the lid on, and I kind of blew up that day in the kitchen. I was very angry about this dumb green bean casserole, but really, we were fairly newly married. I had moved 1,000 miles away from my family. We moved to his hometown. We were pastoring in his home church. We were living a block from his parents. Everything was Kevin's. And I felt like I'm this stranger trying to figure out a new life, and he's comfortable and at home. And he's going to do it all his way. And I wanted one thing to be my way. I wanted one thing to feel comfortable and familiar to me.
But I was right about that, so I won that argument. But we're not keeping tallies on that.
Okay. If your spouse loses, you lose. If your wife loses in a fight, you have lost.
True.
Because you're not going to live it down. You are a team. We resolved that conflict.
We did.
Found that things brown better with the lid off.
It's good.
I came over to the side after we talked about how I needed to have some things that were mine, and I needed to get a little help with the anxiety I was having about being so far from my family. So, yeah.
That's good.
Being honest.
A couple more. Number six, don't threaten each other or make demands. So love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And your language matters. What you say to the person matters. There's an old phrase that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And that's the most false statement, right? We can try to make them not sit in our mind and hurt us, not crush us, but they do. Words do hurt. And threatening to leave or making demands on your partner, it's a heavy weight and a heavy burden to carry. But we throw in a threat and an argument, even though we don't even really mean it. We'll just, well, I can just do this. And you may say it like, oh, I don't really mean that, but I'm going to say it to try to get the upper hand. And that person's taking it like, oh, well, they're going to do this. And it'll just escalate the situation. It'll hurt. It'll crush. You are a team. And so demanding changes shouldn't only be for the other person. Okay, if you see something in your relationship that needs to change, change as a team. You're working together as a team. You're there to help them, as the scripture says, to protect them and for them to help and protect you. You're a partner. You're a teammate. You're not a parent or a boss, okay? You're a teammate. Another quick, funny story. A popular thing to say or to do when couples get upset is for the husband to sleep on the couch. And early on in our marriage, this topic came up in conversation. And I remember telling her, if we get an argument, I'm not going to sleep on the couch. I'm not going to do that. And so obviously then something happens. I don't know what the argument was. And Becky remembers that. And so we're going to bed and I see her walk out of the room carrying her blanket and pillow and she's going to go sleep on the couch. And that made me more upset. Like, no. What I meant was none of us are going to do that. Okay, so we were able to talk it out, get a very good night's sleep together because we're not sleeping on the couch, right? And so that time it was probably my fault in that one, but we worked it out and we got it well. So don't threaten each other or make demands, okay? Last one.
Yeah, so last tip, don't throw in the towel. Love never fails. In that last point, love always hopes. Okay, this discussion didn't go quite like this. We didn't follow all the tips. I'm done. We're up. We're gonna keep working at this. We're gonna keep taking intermissions on this argument. I'm not throwing in the towel. We heard a message once related to something completely different, but an MMA fighter was saying in boxing, when they say, I didn't even bring a towel to this fight, like, I'm staying in it. I didn't even bring a towel to this fight. So in your marriage, we don't even bring the towel. Growing up, my parents told all of us kids, and we knew for certain when we went to look up, back in the day, kids, you had to look up stuff in encyclopedias and dictionaries. Like, a bookshelf. So when you did a report, you had like 8 books off this shelf that you're going back and forth reading. I know, it's crazy. But we had to look things up in books. And my parents pulled the entire page out of their dictionary that had the word divorce on it. So anything with a D that we had to well, it's not my dictionary. But my parents literally pulled the word divorce out of their dictionary when they got married because they didn't joke about it. They didn't throw it out there for threatening. They didn't use the word. They're like, it's that important to us that we're not going to throw that around. We're not going to make light of that or joke about it. And they never did, which made us feel so secure, knowing like mom and dad are going to stick this out. Now, disclaimer in this, there are times if you are in an abusive situation, get out, get help. If that means a separation, if that means leaving, if you are being physically abused, get out of that situation. Mm-hmm. You need true help. Mm-hmm. Don't get a divorce is not, don't ever. There are circumstances. Mm-hmm. There are circumstances for it. So please don't hear this and say, well, Becky told me to fight it, to say that, to not throw in the towel. If you are being abused, get help.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But for most circumstances, stick it out.
Yeah.
Stick in it. Go back to these tips. Yes, it involves self-control. Mm-hmm. And man, is that so hard. Mm-hmm. It's so hard when you're in an argument, when you're mad, when all the feelings are there, when all the emotions are flaring, to say, oh, I need to hear him out. Mm-hmm. I need to listen to his side. I need to be honest with him about how I'm really feeling. They're easy to say, oh, do this. But we're not perfect at, Ben can tell you, mom and dad are not perfect at this. But don't talk to him after. Mom and dad are not perfect at this, but we keep working at this. We keep, and we have so much more productive discussions now. It's rare that we have those moments where we're like, okay, we're in this and we need a timeout. We need to cool off about this and then come back to it and not throw in the towel. Keep working through it.
Worship team, if you would come, we're going to conclude. Why don't you stand with us, congregation? I want to close with another wisdom verse from Proverbs 13:3. And it says, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. When we're in these arguments, we're in these disagreements, those who will guard their lips, will protect what they say, will let it filter through, and is this going to help or hurt, or what's this comment going to do, okay, is you're going to preserve your life. You're going to preserve your marriage. You're going to preserve your relationship with that coworker, friend, okay? But those who speak rashly, meaning you don't think about it. You're just going to say it because it popped in your head, and then a minute later, can I put it back in? Can I stop that? Okay? So wisdom is watching what we are saying and protecting the words that are coming out of our mouth. Today, we're going to close with a song. And these past 3 weeks have been great to talk about marriages. There's a couple of resources that we've made available on the Right Now Media Bible study. For finances, we have a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University we would give to you if you would use it. We're going to have a marriage in enrichment weekend, the last weekend of September. And so we're trying to help, because we know how hard it is to make it in this world as individuals, but also as a married couple. So we want to help you. And so as we close today, sing the song with the worship team, and we'd love to pray with you if you want to come forward. When you're dismissed, the ushers will have little bookmarks with these notes on them, and then it was on YouTube. You can go back and watch it. So, Heavenly Father, God, we love you, Lord. I pray for the marriages in this room, Lord, the relationships in this room, that you would help us to live for you. God, as we close in song today, that we would think about and help us in what we've done wrong and how we can do it better. And so just bless us as we meditate on those things today. And church, as we close, if you want prayer as a married couple or anything, if there's anything in your life, if you want healing or pray for anything, please come forward and we'll dismiss in just a moment.